Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Friday. The Jason Smith Show with my
best
friend, Mike Harmon.
It's only Thursday.
Oh, today's Thursday. Oh, my goodness. I really have COVID brain. I really have. I thought today was Friday.
People all excited.
Amazing.
Today's Friday.
That's the second time this week I screwed up the day opening the show. I have a 500 percentage this week right now of opening the show and saying it was the correct day.
C-minus,
still
Jay.
In the Hall of Famer.
Wow. That's not going to go on my Marconi reel. That is absolutely, that's not happening. Wait. Let's start again. Let's start again.
C-minus already.
I know. Let's start it again. Here we go. Start again.
Okay, let's begin. Let's begin.
Welcome to the Jason Smith Show.
All right, good start so far.
With Mike Harmon.
Wow.
On the show, there are a lot of double entendres.
The night of loving dangerously.
Hey, I love smoke some meat.
I got two big cheeks.
I'd like to spank your bald head and lick it.
I'm going
to
eat that ass up.
Just maybe. One show, they won't be so immature.
Give daddy a kiss.
I don't like that one.
You guys are so gross.
Why don't we spice it up tonight?
Live from the Geico studios of FSR with Mike Harmon, here's Jason Smith.
All right, now I got to wait till the drums come in, and then it's Bill Belichick, and then we start. Wait, here comes the... Okay, and... Greetings, welcome inside. Happy Thursday. Race fans. It's what a great Thursday it is. It is Thursday. Thursday. Happy Thursday. Mike Harmon, how is your Thursday? I can't believe you said it was Friday when we started the show.
I know. I was really out of sorts and really had some problems. No, a couple of good soccer workouts for the youngster today. She was getting after it. We continued our Glee marathon. Got a little bit of Avengers in and some music. So, the sounds, a bunch of big important phone calls, trying to be a big muckety-muck, and all of those things. So it was a good day. Fantastic day.
And it was Thursday. Today
was a big
Thursday. Next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So
I did some speeding that I didn't get caught.
That's good.
Allegedly.
I think everybody does that. Now I have to turn you in because you admitted it on the radio. You admitted to a misdemeanor.
You don't know when down
or
distance.
No, you just said speeding. Doesn't matter. You admitted to it. You just admitted to speeding.
All right, I'll admit to not having seen what the posted speed limit was.
You just said you sped, though.
In a particular area.
No. Now you can't walk it back.
Assuming I was speeding.
You went from speeding to, maybe I was speeding. No, you were speeding. Now you're getting it where the cops are coming to your house right now. You're going to get arrested.
No, I can say this. If I knew you were going to flub
That's
the
gonna happen.
Opening and call it Friday.
Well...
I wouldn't have had to have been speeding. I would have had a couple extra minutes to get to my destination.
Arrested. Listen, I messed up the day. You committed a crime. There's a difference in that right there. I mean, you committed. Yeah. Suddenly, my mailbox alleged theft doesn't look as great. It's pretty good. I said alleged. And also statute of limitations. That's up on that. But today is Bubble Elimination Thursday. In the National Basketball Association, as we're finally going to get the playoff picture solved for us at the bottom of the Western Conference, which has been the big piece of drama going on. The bubble comes, and clearly, as we told you when it would start, we'll get some excitement in the beginning, but then most teams are going to sit back, their seedings are secure, you're not really playing for home court, and all the drama is going to be the bottom of the Western Conference. They invited 47 teams to come play at the bottom of the West just to get the Pelicans in. Pelicans were eliminated before tonight. But what do we know right now? Well, it's pretty simple. Memphis, who came in and lost, luckily they had a big enough lead. They were able to win today over Milwaukee, who, remember, played without Giannis. None of their starters played more than 25 minutes. Milwaukee completely gave this game up. So Memphis, by virtue of their win, is in to the 8-9 game. The rest of it is pretty simple. If Portland beats Brooklyn right now, and they're about 4 minutes left to go before halftime, and Portland leads the Nets 60-57, Damian Lillard may need to score 65 or 70 points to make sure they win this one. He's got 13 so far. But again, still 4 minutes to go before halftime. If Portland wins, they go in the 8-9 game against Memphis. If Portland loses, it's Phoenix, who won again today. They go 8-0 in the bubble, and it still might not be enough. They beat Dallas 128-102, and clearly Dallas said, yeah, you know what, we don't need this game either. We're going to, you know, sit our guys. Luka Doncic is going to play 13 minutes, and you know, we're not even Porzingis, yeah, don't even worry about that. So clearly the teams that were playing for nothing rolled over today, but that's how it goes. But Phoenix 8-0 in the bubble, and it still might not be enough because they need Portland to lose this game against Brooklyn, or they are out of the bubble. And right now, since it's an either-or situation, the Lakers are doing backflips because at least one really good team is out between Phoenix and Portland. One of them is going to be out. Phoenix is less dangerous. Phoenix is more hot than they are a great team. So you get to the playoffs, the newness of it for them. I know the Lakers would have a lot of problem with them, but still, you have the hottest team in the bubble is not going to be in the playoffs, or the most dangerous team that could sneak in, which is the Portland Trail Blazers, if they win this game. So you either have the hottest team or the most dangerous team is not going to be in the 8-9 game. And if I'm the Lakers, I am wearing Nets hats. I am calling up Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving saying, hey, what can you do for us? Can you help us out here a little bit? Because no matter what you want to hear, the Blazers are a dangerous team. It's a Western Conference Finals team from a year ago. Their backcourt can hit threes and put up points like crazy. They are starting to get their supporting cast to really contribute. Nurkic is starting to come on. Carmelo Anthony is playing like it's 7 years ago, and he's back to being the terrific one-dimensional player he was before we thought his career was over. You know, Portland is dangerous. They are the dangerous team. That's the only team the Lakers really have to watch out for in the first round. Anybody else they play with, Memphis or Phoenix, it's not going to be that much of a difficulty for them. Portland's the team they got to watch out for. So you know they're sitting there. They're going, all right, we're ready to go. Come on, Kyrie. I think the world is flat, Kyrie. Help us out. I'll say, LeBron is saying, listen, I will tell everybody the world is flat if you can inspire the Nets to win this game so we can avoid having to play the Blazers. Please help us out with that.
I could just say this, though. I don't think any which way any of this is easy and goes according to some massive script. I'm not saying the Lakers get tested or ousted, you know, should any team but the Blazers be their first-round opponent. But I don't think it's a cakewalk either way. I mean, the rest of that squad beyond your top 10 NBA players and LeBron and AD, you know, you've got questions. And the shooting's been suspect, and the usual creature comforts and advantages of home court don't exist here. Not to mention, you've got Phoenix with a bunch of young guys who, let's just face it, they're just playing basketball, right? There was no agenda. Hey, they're giving us some extra time to work together. It's kind of like training for a bowl game. Let's go to work. And that's exactly what they did. And with the Blazers, you know, they have the good fortune of, oh, wow, it's a season torn asunder. Oh, wait, we had a four-month break, and now we get to go back and play, and everybody's healthy. So, I mean, they're playing with house money. Like, both those squads, I mean, are dangerous for that fact, is that neither of them really had any claims on a spot here should they be able to go and beat Memphis in the play-in series to go through it. So it's going to be fun to watch. And a lot of potential for chaos. And I don't know which way I'm rooting in this game now, right? As much as I've jumped on board the Blazers long, long ago as a, hey, look out, they're getting healthy with Collins, Nurkic, etc. There's also the charm of, hey, let's see Devin Booker, especially after Draymond Green's comments last week. So we got to get him out of Phoenix. Wait a minute. Now all of a sudden Phoenix is the team on the come and everybody's excited. I saw a couple of folks had what really cool immediate eligibility for Brooklyn for a guy and basically taking your naming convention of starting to rhyme with Devin Booker.
Yeah, okay.
And they drew different hair and a mustache on him and the whole thing saying, this guy's now available. I forget what the name was. It was kind of funny, though. So just a bit of chaos. And having a meaningful game at the end of this is really all that matters, right?
Yeah, look.
The fear was it was just a bunch of exhibitions mm-hmm. that really had no weight. And now we have Giannis with the headbutt. It didn't matter for what they were trying to do because they'd already clinched the number one seed. But this game, to end it, you know, we got the Pelicans on the split screen, but, you know, it's done. This still has meaning, and people in Los Angeles are puckering up a little bit. Yeah, it's fun.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. So we've talked about all the teams, how they can win, how they can get in, who the Lakers would want to play, who they don't want to play. But one team we're not going to be seeing, and it's going to be something we haven't seen in the NBA for 22 years, the San Antonio Spurs, because this is how it ended for them.
So the Spurs see their season end with a record of 32-39, and for the first time in 22 years, the Spurs fail to make the postseason. They finish at 5-3 in the restart in Orlando, and the final score in Game 8 of the seeding games. The Utah Jazz defeat the San Antonio Spurs. The final score, 118-112.
Spurs Radio Network on the call. This is an end of an era for the Spurs as they don't make the playoffs for the first time 22 seasons. They went 20-62, had a horrendous year, missed the playoffs. Greg Popovich took over as head coach, and in the draft, the Spurs got lucky in the lottery and were able to land Tim Duncan, which turned them on a huge run that has lasted, well, the better part of 22 years, whether it was David Robinson and Tim Duncan and Avery Johnson. Then they moved on, and it was Tim Duncan-centric, and you brought in Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, and it was Sean Elliott, and that morphed into the later on Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. No matter who it was, the Spurs found a way to make the playoffs, found a way to become a dynasty because they would win every few years. They were not your quintessential dynasty like the Lakers or the Warriors who won a lot of championships in a short amount of time. But over the course of 15 years, it was championship couple of years, championship couple of years, championship couple of years, championship couple of years. And now that this run is over, you know, it's one of those things when you sit back and look at it, and I realize I'm going to get ratioed to hell by San Antonio for this, but the Spurs, you know, dynasty, let's just say, the Spurs run, because now they're going to have to start over and do some things to get back to being a great team, and who knows what they can do. The Spurs run, it's first of all, it was a dynasty you would expect to see in sports in the 1970s. Where the stars were all silent. They didn't say anything. There was no controversy. There was no personality. The head coach was grumpy all the time. He was rude. He was arrogant. And every few years, they won a championship. That's what dynasties looked like in the 1970s, right? It's why certain programs, certain events, I equate to Stonehenge, the Indiana basketball program. Boy, every time you see them play, you think back, boy, they were really something back 25 years ago. Now, what a wreck they are. But look what they were 25 years ago. Indiana basketball. The same thing with the Spurs, because this is a relic. You won't see a dynasty like this, because dynasties come about now, and they are about star players, and they are about being able to team up and go to big cities. We won't see that. You know, you won't see the Spurs. You won't see a team get lucky in the draft and have that move them and maneuver them for 15 years. A team gets lucky in the draft and has a great player. Nowadays, it's Damian Lillard with the Blazers. And maybe you get to the conference finals one year, but you're not going to rip off championship after championship. Your head coach is not going to stay for 20-some-odd years. You're not going to always get things right in the draft, which the Spurs did, in evaluating talent. And that's the number one thing that the Spurs always did. They evaluated talent better than anybody in the NBA. But this was not a dynasty that people paid attention to because, as I said, they were boring. The NBA tried to make the Spurs happen, and they couldn't. You couldn't make the Spurs happen, no matter what you did. We'll put commercials on the air. We'll try to tease the heck out of them, like Duncan and Robinson, or Jordan and Pippen, and it just wasn't the case. San Antonio was too small. And Tim Duncan did his thing, and he was boring. Greg Popovich, surly and rude. Average NBA fan cannot remember one defining play of a San Antonio Spurs championship. The big-time NBA fans can remember things like, okay, Sean Elliott's three when his feet are off the court. They remember big shots, against the Pistons to win the championship. Remember Tim Duncan. But the average NBA fan, doesn't remember anything. The Spurs were a missed opportunity for the NBA to cash in on excellence because they cashed in on the Lakers from the early 2000s, and then they got lost for a couple of years, but then they go to a couple of finals in a row and they win in the late 2000s. They cashed in on the Golden State Warriors, who did everything they did the past few years. Even the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though they weren't really a dynasty, they won once. They cashed in on LeBron because you're that big of a star. But they couldn't make the Spurs happen. And because they were a throwback to a bygone era, they couldn't make them happen in a new era where personality and talent needs to be above the marquee, because this is what the NBA pushed. The NBA pushes the individuals' names, not the teams, and you couldn't do that with the Spurs. So I look at the Spurs run. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's hard to think they were able to do this and change players as much as they did, kind of like the Patriots in the NFL, but it's a missed opportunity for the NBA because they couldn't cash in and make the Spurs into a dynasty that people talk about, that people wanted to see. All the lowest-rated finals had the Spurs in them. So, I mean, that's how I look at the Spurs. It's unfortunate, but it's a missed opportunity for the NBA.
No, you get the respect, right? And everybody looks at the way this team was built, the international scouting and changing how that process was going in the NBA. Silent superstars. Look, the most exciting stuff was trying to get into the details when Tony Parker and Eva Longoria were on boats and stuff. I'll let you guys Google that for your own edification as you go through. Beyond that, you know, they're respected, not sexy. Right, you still had all the individual players for other teams, but they could hold them up as a model organization of this is what you need to do. There's no lulls. There's consistency. There is from the front office to the head coach on down. They can interchangeable parts and bringing in guys, young players that have bit roles and then grow. Like all of that is when you want to put the PowerPoint presentation together of, all right, here's how a franchise is supposed to run. That's great. Problem is, everybody wants the superstar that's on the commercials and maybe be that huge difference maker as opposed to, well, just steady, reliable, and efficient. And Pop being, well, Greg Popovich, who had all his comments and everything post-game today as the end of the run occurred. So, fantastic run, fantastic teamwork and all of those things that we want to write books about and tell people what they should do for best practices, but they didn't make you want to grab your popcorn and sidle up for 2.5 hours. Sorry.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. I know I'm going to get ratioed. I can't go to San Antonio. San Antonio and Green Bay now, two places I can't go.
That's all right. It's a big country, buddy.
Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It is simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink, because let's face it, nobody wants to stink. We'll keep you updated. Everything going on in the NBA, and really, that's the Blazers and the Nets right now at halftime. Portland leads Brooklyn 73-67, so a close game. Portland wins, they're in. They lose, and it's the Suns. But coming up next, we have two NFL stories. One, I'm going to warn you about somebody, and I'm going to shake my fist like I'm the old grandpa in the horror movie. You're going to have to listen to me. And the other one is about a guy who got cut because he tried to sneak a woman into his hotel room.
Yeah.
Disguised as a player. Yeah. So that happened in the NFL, too. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Geico Studios at halftime. Blazers and the Nets, the game in the bubble right now. Blazers win. They move on to the 8-9 series against Memphis, because it could be as many as three games.
Yeah.
Or as many as two games, rather. But they need to win this game, or it'll be the Phoenix Suns against Memphis. And right now, again, 73-67 at halftime so far for the Blazers. Damian Lillard's got 17. CJ McCollum, the big gunner today, he's got 18, 8 out of 13 shooting. So we are a half away from knowing exactly what kind of 8-9 play-in game we're going to get. We'll continue to keep you updated on this story throughout the night. But today's a big day in the NBA, the NFL, too. And one of the craziest dramas unfolded over the course of the day today. Don't worry, we're going to get to the guy that got cut because he tried to sneak a girl in his hotel room in a second. But today, New York Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams talked to the media and talked about the since-departed Jamal Adams. Because let's face it, we're starved for NFL content. And the story of Jamal Adams has gotten way too much attention than it normally would. But this is the hand we're dealt.
He is a star, though.
Yeah, no, he is a star. He is, and he likes to be a star, and he likes to say things, and he's very outspoken.
He hated the Jets, so I mean,
sure.
It became,
but he still would have signed there if they wanted to give him money. That's Jamal Adams,
of course.
So Greg Williams, his former defensive coordinator, did an interview today and talked about how Jamal Adams is going to fit in with the Seattle Seahawks. And Greg Williams said, well, Jamal Adams may have a couple of problems.
Jamal may get bored there because they don't use their safety type things and all the different complexities of not showing what they're doing as much as we do. We'll still do a lot of the same exact things, but we'll highlight the people we have here. He had maybe his most productive year here because of how we highlighted the skill sets that he's had. And I've had a lot of really, really good guys at that position.
So he may get bored because of the vanilla schemes they run in Seattle, which I can't say I'm really upset because the Seattle Seahawks have been pretty good with their vanilla schemes on defense the past decade or so.
Should he start playing Ringo Starr singing "I'm the Greatest" in the background?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I can look and say, "Boy, Seahawks, they missed a lot of opportunities on defense." They really haven't.
That's a lot of plays out there, let me tell you.
So he says he could be bored. Well, what did Pete Carroll have to say in response? He was asked today about Jamal Adams and what he's going to bring to the Seahawks. And Pete Carroll, with one of the great zingers, said, well, he's not bringing Greg Williams with him, that's for sure. Ha, 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 laughter all around. Talk about Jamal Adams fitting in, now being here, what they're planning on doing with him in Seattle. And I'll tell you this, and you can mark the tape on this. You can mark it all right here. But right now's the honeymoon period. Everything is fine with Jamal Adams. He's excited. It's a new team. He already said he wants to retire with Seattle, which tells you about Jamal Adams. Hasn't played a game, hasn't had a practice in pads yet, but already wants to retire in Seattle. Doesn't even know his teammates. Already wants to retire. Jamal Adams, everything is fine right now. Just wait. Just wait. I've watched the guy the last 3 years. I have seen him find ways to be upset about things he didn't really need to be upset about. He's a player who at various different intervals was upset with his role, the team, what was going on, his coaches, his scheme, his contract, most of all, and wanting more money. Because as bad as things were with the Jets, if the Jets had said, Jamal, you are the biggest blankety blank in the world, and I'm going on the radio tomorrow, and I'm saying that, I'm going on satellite and saying it, so I can curse about you. You stink, you're overrated, you have no ball skills, you get beat constantly. Yes, you're good near the line of scrimmage, but you showboat, you do all of these things. And this could be plastered coast to coast. And if the day after the Jets said, I know I said all that about you, but here, how about we make you the highest paid safety in the NFL? He would have said, yes, I love it. I love you guys. I'll stay here. Jamal Adams will find a way to not be happy because this is kind of who he's been. And the Seahawks will have to give him a ton of money to keep him happy. And the more time that goes on they don't do that, the more upset Jamal Adams is going to get. Why don't I get my contract here? Why don't I get it? Why am I not getting it? And things will happen. And he will cause issues in Seattle because I watched him do it the last 3 years in New York. And just a change of scenery is not going to suddenly turn Jamal Adams into somebody he isn't. When he was happy and making Pro Bowls, he still found a way to be upset. So it's not like, well, we're going to give him his money, he's going to be great. He'll still find a way. Trust me. I watched his act for the last 3 years. He is talented. He is a box safety. Don't get upset when he gets beat in pass coverage because he's not great in pass coverage. He is okay in pass coverage. But playing near the line of scrimmage with a free safety that can help him out and can range all over the field, yes, he can make those disruptive plays in the backfield, and he'll make those big, and you're going to say, wow, we got a great player. But that's Jamal Adams. Just wait. Everything is fine right now. Honeymoon period for a team, only because he doesn't know them. He doesn't know Seattle. Doesn't know anything about what's going on. Seattle spent some time the past few years picking and choosing the guys they want to pay, the guys they don't want to pay. Just wait. Things will happen, and I will say, I'm here for you. I told you it was going to happen, and it is. He is going to cause issues because that's what he does.
Well, the fact that you have the coaches now in the war of words and all that fun, and Greg Williams wants to disrespect him, so you'll say, hey, he's motivated. No, that means, there's probably trouble ahead here with the Seattle Seahawks. Just kind of the, yeah, be careful what you wish for kind of situation. If you're saying he's bored, which means he'll get bored and he'll speak up, and your locker room will have to absorb what he's going to have to say. Great player, fantastic contributor. Curious to see how he fits in for the short term. But remember when the deal went down, the first thing we looked at each other and said was, all right, why no extension already? You needed to get that done, because all that's going to be is just – it's the old sword of Damocles. We haven't used it in a while, so we use it here. It's hanging over that situation. And if he struggles or he gets called out by local media, you know Greg Williams is going to keep receipts, and he's going to keep an eye on the tape as well to make sure he's going to hammer that every availability that he's got as well. So this is far from being done. And, look, it's going to keep your Jets in the news, even though they're not the principals anymore.
It's okay. But, hey, just
watch.
But
they'll be the agitators. So
just
it's all good by me.
And when everybody wants to cry and go, oh, my God, I'll say, it's okay. I'll put my arm around you and say, I know. I know. I told you. I know. I know. I know. It's going to happen. But that's not nearly the biggest thing going on with the Seahawks today, a story that really all of us can relate to, or maybe none of us can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Speaking of money, you had George Kittle get $75 million today. And luckily for Seahawks rookie cornerback Kemah Sivrand, he got his bonus of $2,000 when he signed with a team undrafted out of Oklahoma State, because he was waived by the Seahawks after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel. Now, you're not supposed to have women in the hotel. That's supposed to be social distancing, isolation, COVID-19. The NFL Network first reported this, that Sivrand was released. The woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player. So this is what this kid did, you know, trying to make the team as a special teams player. You know, I got to see her, though, so let's get her in, and I'm going to sneak you in as a player. Okay, first of all. I don't know how any incredibly attractive woman, and I'm assuming that this is what he was trying to do, was sneak in, you know, maybe, I don't know, Instagram model, I don't know. But any woman who is walking, I don't think she's going to give the image that she's a player. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Like when you're on a nature trail, you have to act larger, like you're a bear.
Mm-hmm.
You try to look a little taller.
Is that Russell Wilson wearing love pink sweats? Is that okay? I must be Russell Wilson. Okay. I don't get how sneaking her in as a player, is going to work. There's so many other things you can do. Hey, you know what? Come in and dress as a person who works in the hotel. Wear a white like tuxedo type shirt, black pants, come in, and people will think you work in the hotel. But
go back and watch Ocean's 11. There's lots of ways to get around.
There's so many ways. You can even do the whole thing where you can pretend that you're getting robbed and they call the SWAT team, and the SWAT team comes in and she's actually on the SWAT team and goes to the hotel while the other people leave with the money. Sorry, spoiler alert. There are so many better ways to do it than I'm just going to sneak her in. When you sneak somebody in trying to be in as a player, when you try to sneak in a woman as a man, that only works in the movies. I mean, and really, it shouldn't work in the movies. Because this isn't a soccer movie where a boy can play as a girl and nobody knows for the entire movie up until the last 5 minutes. That's something you would see in a really bad B movie. We're going to dress you up as a boy, and no one's going to notice.
Look at you.
And that's
going to work. You're going to go back and watch the reveal scene.
Which
movie you're talking about there.
But yeah.
You got to commit to the makeup, the act.
What was the one in the 80s? Just One of the Guys, right?
Just one of the guys.
Hey, I saw this movie the other day and it really worked. So why don't we dress you up as one of the players on the team? I don't understand. There's so many other ways. She could have just been somebody in the hotel or around the hotel. I don't understand. There's so many better ways to do it. There's so many better ways.
He forgot his ID. I mean, think of all the attempts to try to make that work. Just... all right, we've got to get all our stories straight. I mean, this is this is next level right here. I mean, yeah. Point for the effort. I saw some theories online that this was a, you know, he was a fall guy and kind of got paid to be made an example of as to what can happen to you if you try to disrupt the environment and bring anybody on board.
And if this doesn't tell you, just for a second, that the NFL has to make contingency plans for positive COVID-19 tests, there is nothing else that you need to know. I mean, you can see Major League Baseball and say, yeah, those guys went out, but we got it. We don't have to worry about that. Here they are. You haven't even really gotten to a point where you're away from people yet. I mean, they're just getting there. They've been there for a couple of days, and Here's a guy who is trying to make the team. And this is not an established star. What are you going to do, cut me? No. This is a guy trying to make the team. And I say, I'm going to try to sneak a woman in. I'm going to try to do this. The NFL, please see this and know, okay, I think we're going to have a little bit of an issue. We got to make sure we're on top of these players as much as we can be. And, let's get that extra schedule out there that has bye weeks for makeup games. Because if we're not even in camp yet and a guy is trying to sneak a woman in dressed as a player, we're going to have issues. We're going to have issues.
But
we're going to have
positive COVID-19. The fact that they caught her means the protocol works. And right now that dude's agent is trying to get in touch with the vice president of stuff to see about a spot in the XFL.
I don't know that the protocol works. It's just, this is a really bad idea. I mean, I
hey, but you know what? They can't all be George Clooney-esque, Danny Ocean-led, big efforts here, you know, where you've got the biggest Ella Fitzgerald of them all. I mean, some guys are just going to have the easy casualties. And this is one. This was not a well thought out plan. But Twitter. It showed at least at the baseline level, security works. I'm taking it as a positive, Smith. You can downplay it and talk about problems all you want. I say this is a win.
This is like in the comedic cop movie where the person comes up and says, yeah, look, I did it. Here's all the, I got to unburden myself and tell you. I'm turning myself in. Oh, great. That never happens in real life. That's how they caught him. The Chase and Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. So I'm going to go watch Ladybugs and Just One of the Guys. Those are the two.
Wow, Ladybugs. Get a little Rodney in.
Coming up next, hey, it is the end of a huge run in the NBA, unlike anything we've ever seen, and we celebrate it the only way we can, with a fun game that you can play along with us. 22 years has been this streak. We'll have it next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. It is the Nets with the 87-85 lead over Portland. Ooh.
Yeah.
Phoenix getting a little excited right now, but still a long way to go.
Mellow.
Still 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. If Portland wins, they're in the 8-9 game in the West. If they lose, it's the Suns. But one team not in, the San Antonio Spurs, who saw their 22-year run of making the playoffs end earlier today. The last time they missed the playoffs was the 96-97 season, the year before they got Tim Duncan and well went on to win a whole heck of a lot. So, with that in mind, let's celebrate the Spurs 22-year run by playing the 1997 game. These are things that these are things that happened in 1997. This is how long ago it was since the last time the Spurs made the playoffs. Mike Harmon and I playing against our producer, Lee DeLapp, who came up with the questions. Lee, what do you got?
All right, you guys. You know what? It's actually on this day in 1997 that this famous television series made its debut, and it's still running today. Can you name it?
It started today in 97.
August
13th. Still on the air?
August 13th, 1997.
Oh, my goodness. It's still on the air. Cops is not on
the
air
game
anymore.
Shows, right?
Not a game show.
It's a regular TV show. Oh my! And it's still on the air. The Simpsons started in '89, so it's not that. What the hell could still be on the air now? It started.
Law and Order SVU.
Not Ellen. Oh boy,
you were in the realm there with Simpsons.
I was in the realm with Simpsons. Ooh,
mm-hmm.
Family Guy.
No, but you're still in the realm. You're getting close. Hot.
Harmon, what's your guess?
cartoons, South Park.
That's correct.
Oh, very good. Wow, South Park began.
You killed Kenny.
1997. My goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, that's a long time. All right, Lee.
All right, you guys. What sports legend won their first big title in 1997?
What sports legend?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The Florida Marlins. No, John Elway.
I think Marlins did win the series that year.
They
but
did win. Was it? No, 97, 97, 96, 97. Yeah, was it Denver? Was it John Elway?
Think individual.
That's what I said, John Elway.
Well, that's a team sport.
An individual sport. Won his
Serena
first
Williams.
Oh, I gotcha. Oh, that's a good guess. I'm going to say Lennox Lewis.
It was Tiger Woods won the Masters. It was his first major the year before, 96. He was Sportsman of the Year and Rookie of the Year.
Oh, very nice. All right.
All right. Speaking of that, there's
John Elway.
There's four starting quarterbacks in the NFL that were born in 1997. Can you name them?
Oh, my goodness. So they got to be 20, so they're 22 or 23 years old. Starting quarterback. Drew Locke.
No.
Sam Darnold.
Correct.
All right, Sam is one.
Sam.
Daniel Jones.
Correct. Two New York quarterbacks there.
Nice.
No, Jimmy Garoppolo is too old. Oh, good one.
Nope.
No, not Dwayne Haskins. Ooh, who
the
else
ageless
would it
be? Wonder. No, I was going to make a joke. Believe it or not.
Josh Allen.
No.
Mahomes.
No, he was 96.
Lamar Jackson.
Correct. January 7th, 1997. One more to go.
One more born in 1997. Guy's the MVP of the NFL. Last
Mitchell Trubisky.
The Spurs. Oh, good one. Now he's a little too old, I think, Trubisky.
Number one pick.
Baker Kyler Mayfield. Murray.
Nope. Did I hear Mike say it?
Murray.
He said Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, yep.
All right, there we go. All right, feeling good, Mike. Took us a while. We got that. Let's get one more.
All right, you guys. Who was the NBA MVP in 97?
Who was the in 1997?
That wasn't the Iverson year.
No. Iverson was late. Iverson
Nash.
Was 2000. No, I think Steve Nash
young,
was too
early for Steve Nash.
Oh, I bet Karl Malone.
That is correct. And to piggyback on that, who was the rookie of the year? You named him.
Oh, Tim Duncan.
No.
Oh, Allen Nash. Iverson.
That is correct.
Iverson, rookie
Iverson
of the year.
Iverson was 96, yeah.
There you go. How about that, huh?
Wow.
Oof. The last time the Spurs made the playoffs, all these things didn't make the playoffs.
Those
all these
years
things
ago.
Wow. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. And the one thing you learned from these last few minutes, obviously, is John Elway is an individual. He's an individual. He's an individual.
Well, he's been assimilated by the Borg.
Coming up next, two big stories out of the NBA bubble, Lillard and Zion.